ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text Number 6. Is that right?
Correct.
Where are the students from? What school is this? Kansas State University. Came from Kansas just for my class? It's amazing. Give this to them. Kansas State. How long you in town for?
About 10 hours.
Really? It's amazing. Do we have prasadam for them after class? They'll come and take prasadam. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text Number 6. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Nirguno Api hi acho ajo avyakto magavan prakrite para swamaya gunam avishya badya balakatam gataha nirguna pi hi ajo vyak Bhagavan prakrite para swamaya gunama visya padya barakatam gataha nirguna piyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite para Swamaya gunama visya Badya barakatam gataha Nirguno piyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite paraha Swamaya gunama visya Badya barakatam gataha. Nirgunopyakto vyakto. Bhagavan prakite paraha. Samaya gunama visya. Badya barakatam gataha. Nirguna piyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite paraha Somayam gunama visya Bhajyam badakatam gataha Nirguna piyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite paraha Nayam Brahma Visya Padya Barakatam Gata Nirguna Piyajo Vyakto Bhavan Prakite Para Somaya Gunama Visya Padya Bhagatam Gata Matajis. Nirguna piyajo vyakto Bhagavan prakrite para Somaya gunama visya Bhajya padakatam gata Nirguna Pihyajo Vyakyo Bhagavan Prakrite Para Samaya Gunama Visya Padya Bhakatakam Gata. Any students want to try? The gentleman in the flower garland? Okay. Nirguna, without material qualities. Api, although. He, certainly. Aja, unborn. Avyakta, unmanifest. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Prakriti, to material nature. Para, transcendental. Swamaya, of his own energy. Gunam, material qualities. Abhisya, entering. Badya, obligation. Badakatam, the condition of being obliged. Gata, accepts. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligation pertains to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, he does so in his spiritual position. Although his activities materially appear different, spiritually they're absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Avajanantimamudha manusim tanam ashritam. Fools, deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this material, within this universe, without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He was always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yo veti tattvata. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone, but because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna, and when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental, and as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti mam eti sarjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up this material body. Nirguna pi ajovyakto bhagavan prakrite para somaya gunam avisya badya barbakatam gataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, although his spiritual potency, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shraktaya Chaksur Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the position of the Supreme Person is given. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are studying, talks all about the Supreme Personality and how he interacts with his servants, both knowing servants and unknowing servants. Everyone is servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some of us know that that is our position, and other of us are rebelling against that position, even though that is our eternal situation. So herein, Krishna is described, God is described as beyond attachment and hatred. In this material world, we are all subjected to attachment and hatred. I just read recently in the news, one gentleman was in court to get custody of his children. He couldn't get it. He was being accused of some terrible crime. I can't remember. But the social worker brought his children, maybe you heard, just last week I think it was, over to his house for a visitation. He had young children, and they wanted to give supervised visitation. So as the social worker approached the home, I think this was in, not in Kansas, but somewhere in the Midwest. Don't take offense. I'm from the Midwest also. I'm from Illinois. And the father hustled the boys, the two young boys, I think 10 and 8, into the house and slammed the door on the social worker, locked it, not allowing her to come in. You heard the story? This was just a few weeks ago in the news. He then, within a few minutes, lit the house on fire. I think put on the gas or something so that the house would explode, killing him and the children. Who can understand? These things are actually going on. The man was so attached that from that attachment, because he couldn't fulfill his desire, the court had made some restrictions, he became full of hatred and envy and actually killed his two young sons. Such a terrible act. Also heard, sometimes people think that devotees are a little bit pessimistic, but actually we're realistic. I heard one story, which personally was frightening to me, that there was a nurse a few days ago, at least I think she was in court a few days ago. She was a technician nurse, although she didn't have the real credentials. She was feigning those credentials, unlike you all with degrees. And she was giving technical support to dialysis patients, kidney failure patients. And she, instead of when they do the kidney dialysis, the tubes carry different fluids that can go in or out. And she was injecting into the machine to go into the people bleach. Five people died. No one could even understand. These were strangers to her. She didn't know these people. But because of hatred, envy, and not understanding that she's God's eternal servant and that everyone else is God's servant, and that we're all meant to serve the Supreme and engage in devotional acts of loving kindness, instead she was administering to these unknowing patients bleach into their bloodstream, which made them die in a very unpleasant fashion. So in this world, we're dependent on so many other persons and so many situations, materially and spiritually. But the fact of the matter is that we have to be very careful who we trust. The court had trusted this father to be kind to his children and to respect the law, but he couldn't. Because nunam pramatak krute vikarma. He was mad after sense gratification. His mind was completely disturbed. What do they have that saying? If I can't have you, then no one will. Sometimes a husband or wife, they're deeply, deeply, deeply in love and attached, so-called in love. And if there's some cheating or some breakup of the marriage situation, one spouse kills the other because if I can't have you, nobody can. They say like that. It's a prime cause. We heard one case in, I think it was Florida. The woman was a dentist. She was an educated woman. Her husband cheated on her at some hotel. So she went to the hotel with her stepdaughter in the front seat, waited till the husband came out, and ran him over with the car. This is a true story. I don't make these things up. She was a dentist, and they found her guilty of... We hear from the audience that she went back over him again and again. The actual story, she ran over him and then rolled back over him and then ran over him again because of attachment and hatred. In this material world, I'm attached to something, and if I can't have it, just like a little kid, I hate you. Sometimes the little child says to the parents, I hate you. He's attached to the parents. They won't give him his sense gratification somehow or other. And therefore, I hate you. This hatred is born out of attachment. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, ancient scriptures say that we should become attached to the Supreme and those things in relation to the Supreme. that God is worthy of our attachment. And of course, we do get attached to things in this material world. We're all attached to our loved ones, our girlfriend, boyfriend, spouses, or children, parents, so many attachments. But those attachments are said to be temporary and full of difficulties. Whereas our real attachment is meant to be attachment to the spiritual, to the Supreme Person, and everyone in relation to that Supreme Person. Not that only the people that are in this temple we're attached to. We're attached to everyone in a spiritual way. That you are also a living entity, part and parcel of the Supreme. We're attached that you may understand and act on that position of attachment. Unfortunately, Natevidu Swargagati Hi Vishnu, most of us don't know that the ultimate goal of life is God, Vishnu, God consciousness, and therefore we act for sense gratification alone. We act for attachment within this material world. I think all of you, you're students of the divinity, isn't it? You're students of the divinity? Your college is a religious college. But you're very religious people, I can see. Yeah. There's religious class then. It's the religions class. I could tell. Not out of clairvoyance, just out of the looks on your face. You look very spiritual. That's actually a fact. Because when one is spiritual, their desires are for the good for humanity by the good for God. Madhava Seva, the Veda state, is Manava Seva. Serving mankind means serving God. That we have this propensity, we're all have a propensity to serve. We have to serve somebody, whether it be in this material world. Even in this material world, everyone has to serve their boss, their teachers, their parents. We have to serve somebody. But real service is service to the Supreme, spiritual service. Madhava Seva, which means service to God, is Manava Seva. Manava means mankind. We serve mankind. So, real spirituality means that I not only focus on God, not only pray to and give my love and devotion and worship to God, but I serve God. I do practical service to God. The ancient Vedic literatures from 5,000 years ago have been teaching how to serve God, how to perform Madhava Seva, or service to the Supreme. That service can be by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. By hearing about God, that is service to God. Shravanam, Kirtanam, by chanting, just like devotees were doing, Kirtan. The chanting, that is service to God. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. By remembering God, when you're walking on the road, when you're doing your work in this world, By remembering God, that is Madhava Seva. That is service to God and service to mankind. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smarnam, Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet. We used to have a sign. We were a few of us in St. Louis in the Midwest for many years. And I was managing the facility there. And we had a sign up that anyone who wanted a free meal could do so by engaging in Madhava Seva, in service to God, which would be Shravanam, Kirtanam, Sweepanam, and Mapanam. You know those glass cases with the black and you put up the white? We actually put that up, isn't it, Naikatma? And so many people came forward because sweeping them and mopping them are also devotional service because they were cleansing Krishna's temple, Krishna's kitchen, Krishna's facility. And they were engaged in sweeping them and mopping them. Many people came forward. So this is our business in this life. It is to serve God and in that way serve mankind. Sometimes people think Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. By serving mankind, we serve God. But actually, real service is service to God. And in that way, mankind is served because they learn the process of serving God and embetter themselves, become spiritually happy and satisfied themselves. We did a program this weekend at the Center Hall in Venice on Abbot Kinney in Maine. And we had kirtan and fed the people spiritual food, our prasadam, which hopefully you'll stay to relish. And I was so surprised, the organizer of the function said he was told by his superiors, try to put on a very nice program, something that will be appreciated. And he said, when I was told that, I immediately thought, get the temple bhajan band to chant and Govindas to cater, and that will be the spiritual event. Of course, they had some speaker, Mark Whitwell, very prominent personality in the community, and I was so surprised. He came up to me last night during prasadam, during our dinner, and he showed me he had Shalagram Shila that he was worshiping of Krishna, a deity of Krishna that he had been worshiping for years, that he had received in Rishikesh. And everybody, after we did the chanting, somehow or other, I don't know where they got it, but if you want to ever impress the Hare Krishnas, all you have to say is Hari Bol. Can you say that, everyone together? Hari Bol. Hari Bol. It means like chant the names of God. Or some people may say praise God. If you say Hari Bol, free ticket for food at any Hare Krishna establishment anywhere around the world. Anywhere. You say Hari Bol, they will worship you. They will serve you, and they will treat you like a king and a queen. So the people at this program, they came up afterwards, Hari Bol! We were amazed. But because there's so much seva to Krishna, because people are all over the world serving Krishna, this has become prominent. And the people that had attended, although I never saw them here at our facility, they knew about devotional service. So this is a very simple science. It doesn't require any change of dress or adjustment, except an adjustment of your heart to give more service in any language, Sanskrit language, English language, Aramaic language, Latin language, in any language, give service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So do you have any questions, even simple questions, you can ask now? We have a few minutes till breakfast is served. Why do we shave our heads? That's very nice. The cycle of birth and death, we read in the last sentence of this purport that here it says, I'll read it again, Tyaktvadeham punarjanmanaiti mameitis. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. So according to the Vedic conclusion, which might be a little different from some Christian understandings and Jewish understandings as we learn in this Western world, according to the Vedas, at the time of death, according to our activities and according to the will of the Supreme, we take birth again in another body. We're souls. We're spirit. The spirit is what is serving the Supreme. And everyone is a soul, so that at the time of death, the soul enters into another body. Now that may be in the material world, or that could be in the spiritual world. We could come back here again and take birth in, if we were attached to some person, we could take birth in their family and be able to have another birth in that situation. Or we could take birth, if we never heard about God, if one hears or prays or chants about God once, they're assured of at least human birth. But if you know someone who never believed or chanted or heard once about God, in the next birth, they could be a cucaracha or some kind of animal. You could go to the animal kingdom, you could go to the cucaracha kingdom, and take birth in any other species. But if you utilize this human form for uttering God's name once, oh my God, OMG, if you wrote OMG on Facebook once, if you chanted God's name once, OMG, you're assured, according to the Vedas, of human birth in the next life. But ultimately, to get out of this material world altogether, then one has to become 100% pure and utilize this human form of life, so that at the time of death, when the bodily heirs are going in a counterclockwise fashion and the soul is getting ready to leave the body, which could be, may not be when we're 90, could happen at any time in this material world. If we're thinking of God at the time of death, we will go to the kingdom of God. But if we're thinking, I remember me and one of my friends here were driving a car 20 years ago from St. Louis to Chicago. I think it was Highway 55 or 57, I don't remember. You remember, Naikatma? And the highway was full of ice. It was February, a month prior, 15, 20 years ago. And somehow we hit this patch of ice and the car started to spin and turn and totally out of control. And although we were practicing Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, and devotional service, we both yelled out in unison something that I cannot even repeat in a class full of saintly persons. And we went down a ramp, and every 50 yards is a pole, one of the electric phone poles, cars only 2 yards wide. Our luck, we hit a pole. Thinking Nikatma got a little scratch on his head. I was in shock. And the main thing, the main damage was not that the car was pretty messed up. We did drive it. People helped us. People came and helped. It wasn't the cut above his forehead. It was the fact that we were in the face of danger. We didn't chant the names of God, even though we've been practicing. And then I realized, now it's time to get serious. We were spinning out of control, rolling down an embankment, and screaming something that would have sent us to a very unpleasant place. Oh, kaka, something I don't know, I can't even say. So the whole idea is that this life is a preparation for at the time of death, which is a very difficult time. I didn't die, but I've had some experiences that it's very difficult, but one has to think of God and chant God's name at the time of death. And then according to Vedas, then you go to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we come back again, we perform more activities, born in a nice family, a family in Kansas, wealthy family or middle-class family, that gives us an opportunity for taking up our sojourn again. And that, according to the Vedas, is what is the science of reincarnation. Any other good question? Good questions? You're the professor. Oh, yeah, we have time. Nothing but time. Is this Kansas State University, or is this University of Kansas, or which school is this? Oh, my God. Oh, that's beautiful. Very nice school. Sure. What's the difference? What's the relationship between Hare Krishna and the Supreme? Very good question. Krishna is the name in Sanskrit for God, means the all-attractive. And Hare is the female energy, or an address, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, let me serve you. So the Hare Krishna mantra means, O my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please let me serve you. You can even say that. You don't have to chant Hare Krishna. But it's a lot easier to chant Hare Krishna. I can't see sitting, oh my Lord, oh engineer of the Lord, please let me engineer serve you. That would be kind of hard. It's easier. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. It's Sanskrit. But it means, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, let me engage in your service. So Hare Krishna is the mantra to pray to or chant to the Supreme. Very good question. Any other questions from Arkansas or Kansas? Yes, sir. What are your thoughts towards other beliefs? Are there other ways, or is this the question is, what is the belief of other ways? What is our relation to other beliefs? and what is their fate. I myself am the representative from ISKCON on the Southern California Interfaith Alliance, the Interreligious Council. Actually, I'm the treasurer of the Interreligious Council. So they trust us enough to give me all their money. And we have great respect for any person that's serving, worshiping, praying, sweeping and mopping in any faith. If you're doing it in Hebrew, if you're doing it in Latin, if you're Catholic, if you're Christian, if you're Mormon. We just stayed last week, myself and Nikatma drove 20 hours and we stayed at the house of some Mormons in Salt Lake City, Utah, who were very sweet. So we, anyone who's engaged in God's service in any language, we respect them and we know that they will attain a spiritual sojourn in their next life. Their journey is spiritual. However, we do think that there are different buses to get to the same location. And this we view as the express bus. You know what I'm saying? We don't say they won't reach the Supreme. They will. But their bus might make a lot more stops and go off the path sometimes. We don't know. But we do know that this is the express line. This is no stops and goes 65 miles an hour the entire way. Also, don't speed in Utah. I went 6 miles over the limit and got a speeding ticket from the good religious people of Salt Lake City. 6 miles an hour. It was in 80. I was going 86. And I got a $115 ticket, and now I think it's on my record. I'm not sure. But this is the express, the fast bus. Very good question. Any other questions? Otherwise, will you be able to stay for breakfast?
I think that we'd love to stay for questions.
Okay. Oh, it's pretty simple stuff. Grapes and apples and salad. Okay, maybe we can ask some of the devotees to stay, and what would be the best thing, to break up in little groups? Hang out? Okay, so if devotees can stay and talk with the individual students and professor. Your name, Professor?
Claude.
Professor Claude from Kansas State University. Very nice. Thank you so much for flying in for my Bhagavatam class. Now, how long have you been here? For about a week or so? And you are visiting a lot of the different spiritual churches and temples and whatnot. Oh, this is your first stop. Thank you very kindly. No jet lag? That's a little. Oh, you drove? From Kansas? Whoa! That's 2,000 miles. My goodness. Okay, so thank you very much for coming. This is such an honor. And if the devotees will, men and women will come and pair up with the class, they have another 20 minutes or half hour. We'll hold your breakfast. Don't worry. It'll still be there when you're done. Thank you very much. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Satchitananda. Could you come talk to the students?